And here we are in God's presence again, waiting, wondering what it is or what is going to happen next. Shall we turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. I've entitled my sermon today, The Call, and if you look at Pastor Al's sermon, what he had planned on preaching was looking for a purpose in life. Well, there you go. God knows what He wants, what we need. And so let's turn in our books. And if you've got chapter 17, we will begin to read at verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, you have called us, each one of us, though some of us may not be yet aware of that call. I pray after today, everybody in this place will be aware of the call of God upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 22. I want you to notice something about when God calls people. Sometimes He doubles it up. He calls you and then He calls you again. Chapter 22, verse 11. The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Now go to Exodus chapter 3. Let's hear those pages. Exodus chapter 3. And verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Now, let's turn to 1 Samuel. Oh, you're going to get it in a while. 1 Samuel, chapter 13. And beginning at verse 10. Now it... Well, it's a second. 3:10. Wrong verse. Then the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel! And Samuel answered, Speak, for your servant heareth. And one more. Acts chapter 9. Way over in Acts. And verse 4. And then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now let's read the next verse. And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. John chapter 10, verse 23 says, He calls His own sheep by name. Now, has God ever called you by name? Some of you maybe. At certain times, God has scolded me by His Spirit, and He has said my second name or my last name this way, McConaughey. Now, you don't want to hear it when he says it, your last name like that. You know you're in trouble. But He's never said, Grant, Grant. But He did say, Abraham, Abraham, Moses, Moses, Samuel, Samuel, Saul, Saul. God has called certain people. We have the stories here. In the Genesis 17 story, God appeared to Abram and made a covenant with him. Now, a covenant is a serious thing. It is a contract, an arrangement, a bargain, a promise, a deal. What did God want from Abram? He said, walk before me and be blameless. Now, there's a key there. Do you know what he's really saying? It means, obey me. Walk before me and be blameless. If you obey the Lord, you're walking before him and you're being blameless. What was God's promises to Abraham? To multiply him exceedingly, to be a father of many nations. He changed his name to Abraham. Notice that Saul's name was changed to Paul. Sometimes God so radically changes you that He even changes your name. He said He was going to bless His posterity, make kings and nations, and He was going to give him all the land of Canaan. And He even gave Sarai a new name and called her Sarah. And she promised Sarah that he would give her a son. So Abraham's call was, walk before me and be blameless. Now let's look at Moses. God called Moses, Moses, quite dramatically out of the burning bush. And what was his call? Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now that's a heavy trip to lay on somebody. Especially if you've been a shepherd out in the wilderness for 40 years. Now you got to go and down into this kingdom of Egypt where these people have been enslaved or in bondage for about 400 years, and God wants you, a shepherd in the backside of a desert, to go down there and free them. Think of how that must have shocked Moses. Now, Moses in his early life thought he was going to be the deliverer, believed he was, and when he was 40 years old, he went out to try it out for size. He figured, well, I got a special purpose. I'll go over and I'll help my people. And he turned to his people and he started to do a few judgment things with them, and he killed an Egyptian, and there he was, banished to the backside of the desert. Sometimes we want to get ahead of God. God's called you, but not yet. In his time. So 40 years later, at the age of 80, he calls to him out of the burning bush and he says, Moses, Moses, go down there and go to that Pharaoh and demand the release of the Israelites. Wow. So Moses began to make excuses. He was not ready. No, he was not. He tried to wiggle out of it. But God bolstered his courage and told him different solutions. Every time Moses raised an objection, I can't talk, I'm slow of speech, they're not going to believe me, who are you, what is your name, so I can tell them who sent me, blah, blah, blah. And he said, God finally just convinced him, look, Aaron's going to take care of the talking, you just go and do as you're told. And his was not an easy task, but God backed him up. When God sends you, when he calls you, he backs you up. Every one of us, when we understand that He is the one who supplies us all that we need to do the job He calls us to do, we can go in confidence. All we need to do is obey. Walk before me and be blameless. Now Moses set off to go, and he forgot one thing. But God didn't forget it. Remember what it was? He got in trouble and God sought to slay him for forgetting one little thing. Seems like a little thing to me. You remember what it was? He forgot to get his family life in order first. He began to take his wife and his sons down into Egypt, but he did not prepare his family to go. There's a little operation one of the boys had to have. Two of the boys, I believe. And Zipporah figured it out, did it, threw it at Moses' feet, said, "You're a bloody husband." But it got God off his case, and Moses was able to continue on with the journey and do the great work that he had to do. All we need to do is obey. Walk before me and be blameless. When he calls you, that is your part. Obey. You don't have any power. There isn't anything in you that's going to give you any advantage over anybody else. In fact, a lot of us are so disqualified for doing work for God that I really don't know why some of us even show up at church. Especially me. Sometimes I feel so inadequate. But it isn't up to me. It's up to him to back his word. If he tells me to do something, then all I have to do is obey, not worry about the qualifications, because he qualifies us. How does he qualify us? By dying on the cross and taking our place, he has given us his righteousness for our filthy rags. All we have to do is turn our lives and hearts over to him and let him use that available material. He can do something with available material. If you're available, he can use you. And sometimes we do make excuses like Moses. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm too old. I'm too young. Well, let's look at Samuel, chapter 3. Samuel was called. Samuel, Samuel. Now, he's a little child. He's never heard the voice of God before. So he runs to Eli, and God calls him and says, "Here I am, here I am. You called me." And Eli says, No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Now, God appointed Samuel to be a prophet. Sometimes it starts in childhood. You need to prepare your children for whatever God is going to do with them later on. We have been commissioned children raisers. Some of us have children in our care. We need to prepare them for what God has called them to do. God has called Marcus. God has called Antonio. God has called Darian. That's right. He's called all these children to a special purpose. The time is short. God is going to send the holy angels, and Jesus is going to come and reap the earth, and we need to get people ready. And it starts with us training the children. Now, he called him a second time. And Eli said, "No, it wasn't me." And he called him the third time, "Samuel, Samuel," he said the final time. And Samuel said, "I'm listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And he became the great prophet, the last prophet, the last judge, of Israel before the kings. So you're neither too young, too old, too anything else to serve God. God has called each of you to a special purpose. Look at Saul. "Saul, Saul," he said. Now here's a man who was highly educated but following the wrong path, who Jesus calls in a very special and dramatic way. He who had been a persecutor became a leader in the cause he once opposed so bitterly. Not all of us are so dramatically called. Indeed, few are. I was called quietly over a series of events, starting as a child, starting with a picture on the wall, a picture of Jesus. I got curious. I asked my father, "Who is that?" And he says, "That's God." And when I was a wee little boy, I began my search for God, who was really searching for me, who was really seeking me out, who over the years led me step by step to the time we are today. Each of us has been called out in our own special way. You have a purpose. You have a reason to be. You are here not by accident. God has called you. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. We cannot do anything about the past. The future is yet to be. It is now that God, by His Holy Spirit, is calling out His church. You may be any walk of life and be called of God. And I have some news for you. You are called. The Holy Spirit is calling you. Young, old, and in between, new Christians, long-time Christians, this is your day. Let me read you something that I thought was very dramatic. It has to do with the Holy Spirit. You see, God is calling you not through a loud voice, not through a burning bush, but quietly and sweetly through the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah said this, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Sometimes, you know, you just want to shut up, you don't want to say nothing, you just want it to all go away, but the fire inside says, no, you have to speak up. You have to tell it. You can't keep it to yourself. God will move upon men in humble positions to declare the message of present truth. Many such will be seen hastening hither and thither, constrained by the Spirit of God to give this light to those in darkness. The truth is as a fire in their bones, filling them with a burning desire to enlighten those who sit in darkness. Many, even among the educated, will proclaim the Word of God. Children will be impelled by the Holy Spirit to go forth to declare the message of heaven. Yes. The Spirit will be poured out upon those who yield to His prompting, casting off men's binding rules and cautious movements, they will join the army of the Lord. In the future, men in the common walks of life will be impressed by the Spirit of the Lord to leave their ordinary employment and go forth to proclaim the last message of mercy. As rapidly as possible, they are to be prepared for labor that success may crown their efforts. They cooperate with heavenly agencies, for they are willing to spend and be spent in the service of the Master. No one is authorized to hinder these workers. They are to be bidden Godspeed as they go forth to fulfill the Great Commission. No taunting word is to be spoken of them, as in the rough places of the earth they sow the gospel seed. Believe me, it's becoming a very rough place of the earth to sow the gospel seed, even in America today. It's getting rougher and rougher. Life's best things, simplicity, honesty, truthfulness, purity, unsullied integrity, cannot be bought or sold. They are as free to the ignorant as to the educated, to the black man as to the white man, to the humble peasant as to the king upon his throne. Humble workers who do not trust in their own strength, but who labor in simplicity, trusting always in God, will share the joy of the Savior. Their persevering prayers will bring souls to the cross. In cooperation with their self-sacrificing efforts, Jesus will move upon hearts, working miracles in the conversion of souls. Men and women will be gathered into church fellowship. Meeting houses will be built and schools established. The hearts of the workers will be filled with joy as they see the salvation of the Lord. That's good stuff. Each of us has a calling. This is your call today. Will you accept it? Some of you have been called a long time ago and you have run from it. Some of you have been called recently and you have not understood that it was the voice of the Lord speaking to you. Some of you are being called right now by the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. I invite you to accept the call of God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, there are those that have not yet repented of their sins. They have not yet come to the cross and received forgiveness for these sins. They have not come yet. We ask that your Holy Spirit would urge them to come forward, confessing to you their sins, and that your blood might be applied to these individuals, I pray. That they would give their heart once and for all to you this day. Then there are those in our midst who have fought the call of God, who have made excuse for not doing the call of God. They have felt too old, too young, too uneducated, too this or too that, and they have resisted doing your will. We pray now that you break the shackles that have bound them, that your Holy Spirit would set them free, that they also would come forward and receive the unctioning and the anointing and the blessing upon them, that they go forth in the calling that you have called them to do. Lord, we ask that your Spirit now would touch and bless and restore and save and unction and send. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. For ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you.